This morning, I want to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Now, for quite some time now, I've been preaching through the life and ministry of Jesus. And I'm focusing on the different events. At other times, we might focus on the Sermon on the Mount, or we might focus on the parables. My focus this time has been on the events that occurred in Jesus' life and ministry and what they tell us about Him and how they encourage us to believe in and trust in Him. And today's message is right along with those things. Jesus, in the short time that He had in ministry, He only was in ministry for three and a half years, roughly. He did a lot. A lot of things happened during that time, and we are blessed because of it. And this passage is a blessing to us this morning. How many of you have ever been in a boat of any size during a storm? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Now, some of you have been on cruise ships. That's a little different. But even a cruise ship can be tossed around, can be moved around by a storm. I've been in, just all mainly small boats, fishing boats, little aluminum boats at different times. Lisa and I, when we were young, married, had a boat and on Lake Belton, and out of nowhere, a huge windstorm came, and it was 40, 50 mile an hour winds, and we were scared to death. We were afraid we were going to lose our lives, we're going to lose our boat, and all those kinds of things. God worked it out, but there was actually a tornado that had come over the water. We didn't see that part, but it was near us, and we could see the effects of it, and we felt so vulnerable. So small, and we felt the power of the wind, the waves. It was calm one minute, and then the next minute everything was scary. I don't know how else to say it. Then even here on Eagle Mountain Lake, during COVID, I guess, you know, we all did other things during COVID to cope. We did some fishing on Eagle Mountain Lake, which I really call it Buzzard Hill Lake. I haven't seen an eagle or a mountain on Eagle Mountain Lake. But anyway, but one time we were out there, myself and Ethan and my daughter and her husband, we were out there fishing. It was calm, and we saw a storm in the distance, but we looked on our radar and thought, oh, we're far enough away, it'll pass. It didn't pass. Oh, it passed all right. It passed right over us. And again, we were in the situation where the wind was blowing so hard and the waves were just really tall for a lake, a smaller lake at that. And we felt like we were vulnerable. We thought we were going to die. And then another time, my daughter and I were out fishing. My daughter fishes with me more than my son. And we got into another situation, and the wind blew here on Eagle Mountain Lake so hard that it turned my aluminum boat the other direction. It picked up the front and it turned it the other way at one point. It was blowing that hard. Now, when I have been in these storms on the lake, I've always felt really hopeless and powerless. I felt fear like I rarely feel fear in life. It never occurred to me to stand before the storm and say, peace be still. It never occurred to me. You know why? Because it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. The wind would go, who does this guy think he is? I'll show him. And why is that? The wind and the waves, they don't obey me. They're not subject to me. They're not. They would laugh in my face if I thought that I might rebuke the wind. But that is not the case with Jesus Christ. And this morning I want you to see that even the wind and the waves had to obey Jesus. Now that doesn't surprise you, does it? It doesn't surprise you. Many of us have heard all of our lives about the miracles that Jesus has done. We're not surprised at all. This morning, I want you to be re-surprised, if that's a word. I want you to be re-surprised. I want you to think about this. All those times I've been on the boat, and you've been on the boat, if we would have rebuked the wind and the waves, nothing would have changed. Nothing would have happened. But when Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, they have no choice but to stop. I've heard that before. You've heard that before. It's a miracle. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, please speak to our hearts and bless us this morning. Lord, thank you for Jesus and all that He is, all that He has done. Lord, let us be those who are quick to believe in Jesus and in what Jesus says and what Jesus tells us to put into practice. Father, help us to be amazed by Jesus and love Him even more when we leave today. In Jesus' name, amen. So join me in the scripture. In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, it says, "On that day, when evening had come," Jesus had been teaching, "He said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.'" The implication is to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. "And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Can you imagine that last phrase? "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's our Jesus. So looking at verse 35, it tells us that in the previous passage, it tells us that he had been teaching. He had been teaching all day. He was tired. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was subject to tiredness. You know, Jesus can identify with us in every way. You know, you might think sometime, well, Jesus wouldn't know about this. That's not true. That's not true. He lived, 33, 34 years here on earth. He experienced it all. And he knew what it meant to be tired. And he had spent the day teaching and probably healing and doing all the things that Jesus did. Well, it came time for the evening time. And he said, "Let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side of the lake of the sea." And so the disciples and the crowd that was with him, they went in a boat, it says, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. There was more than one boat. There was a whole armada, I guess, going across the sea there. And then there were suddenly, it says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat." Now, I don't know a whole lot about geography, but I understand that where this happened, it was subject to quick storms. That quick storms would come up just very quickly. It seems they probably felt like they lived in Keller or something. You know how Keller seems to get all the bad weather, you know, and they get it quickly. But here, the geography of the area allowed or encouraged big storms to come up rather suddenly. And it tells us that the windstorm was a great windstorm. This was no minor breeze, okay? You know, nobody's exaggerating here. It says, a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat. And so the wind was blowing and rocking the boat, and the waves were hitting the boat and turning the boat and tossing the boat. Y'all have seen Gilligan's Island, right? You know, 3 hour tour. Anyway, weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was talking. Yeah, kind of like that. But the ship, the boat was being tossed, and water was coming in. And so when the waves would hit the boat, some of the wave water would come into the boat. And so the great fear is, we're going to sink, right? We're taking on water. We're going to get submerged. We're going to sink. We're going to lose our lives. We're going to lose everything. These people rightfully had fear. They were afraid of the great wind, the great waves, the swamping of their boat. And it tells us in verse 38 that Jesus was asleep on the cushion, on the cushion. So evidently there was a cushion that everybody recognized. All this was going on, and Jesus was asleep. Now, some of y'all been that tired. Have you ever been that tired? Have you ever been so tired that all kinds of things can go on around you and you forget? You don't even hear it. You don't even respond to it. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't wake you. You know, you are tired. Sometimes you get so tired that you don't even care what's going on around you. It doesn't affect you. That's what was going on here, I believe, with Jesus. And so they woke him up. I guess so, right? They woke him up, and they accuse him. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How would we say that? Are you just going to sleep while the rest of us bail? Right? Are you going to help us here? Are you going to do something here? Are you going to pull your load? Are you going to put on your life jacket? You know, they were wanting all hands on deck, right? Do you not care that we are perishing? They were afraid they were going to drown in this storm. And look what it says so plainly. And he awoke. So imagine, if you can, you're on this boat with Jesus, and he wakes up and he speaks to the storm. Who does that? Jesus. Good answer. I don't do that. You don't do that. My instinct is not to speak to the storm. My instinct is to bail. Get the life jacket on. Check on everybody else. Jesus wakes up and he speaks to the wind. And he speaks to the waves. And look what it says. It says he rebuked the wind. Now, I don't use the word rebuke a lot. I've been trying to come up with better words that I use more often, but I can't. But the word rebuke means to offer strong criticism or to reprimand. So let's go with reprimand, okay? We all know what a reprimand is. So to rebuke the wind, Jesus was getting onto, he was reprimanding the wind for being a storm. He rebuked the wind for being a storm. He rebuked the wind, it says. That's the word he used, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind was not at peace, was it? The waves were not at peace. The men in the boat were definitely not at peace. But Jesus wanted to change all that, and he's the only one that can change all that. And when he spoke the words, he says, "Peace, be still." And at that moment, everything went still. Can you imagine? Perfect stillness. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? I'd have been scared. I'd have been the one waking Jesus up for sure. Look at what it says. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The first thing I want you to see, don't get worried, there's only two things. The first thing I want you to see this morning is that Jesus, as the divine Son of God, has authority over all creation. All of creation is subject to God. And when Jesus rebukes the wind, when he commands the wind, peace, be still, he is showing us, he is proving to us that he is God. Because no one else can do that. If you think you can do that, I'll take you out. Next storm, I'll jump out of the boat and swim back to shore, but I want to see it. Who can speak to the weather? Nobody except God. Nobody. We have all wished we could change the weather, have we not? We got plans. Or we've got gardens. Any of you have gardens anymore? Or we've got activities that we want to do. Or we got activities we don't want to do. Please, Lord, let it rain so I can stay home. None of us would dare speak to the wind and the waves. But Jesus, he didn't think about it even a second. You see, the problem was they were about to die because of the weather. Jesus, he didn't say, bail harder. He spoke to the wind. The problem was the wind. And so he spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves. And they had to obey him. Jesus told the storm to stop it. And it did. The storm had no choice but to obey Jesus. Why? Because he is the divine Son of God. He is God. And he is the Lord and the authority over all creation. He can speak to a storm and make it stop. You know, there are other people that want to control the weather, right? You know, you hear about storm seeding or cloud seeding and different things. People would love to be able to control the weather for good things and for bad reasons. You get mad at your enemy, how about a drought for you? People would love to control the weather, but man can't seem to really control the weather. But Jesus can stop the storm because he is God. Only God could do what God did. Jesus is the divine Son of God. He's no ordinary man. He is no ordinary prophet. He is not just a good teacher. He's not just a good man. He's not just someone that you ought to consider his opinion. He is God the Son. He is God. And we should believe in him. We should trust him. We should encourage others to believe in him. So he not only rebuked the winds, but he also rebuked his disciples. Jesus, in verse 40, he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?"
"No, sir."
And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, they were really afraid. I don't discount that. There was a real storm. There were real waves, real winds. There was real consequences. They were in real danger. This was real. But Jesus rebukes his disciples because of their faith. Well, that seems harsh. I mean, after all, they're just people, right? I want to suggest to you this morning that what happened, why Jesus rebuked his disciples was this. They woke Jesus in fear and not faith. They woke Jesus in fear and not faith. You say, well, how would they know? Well, let me just remind you that Jesus had done lots of miracles already. Remember, from our times together previously, he had already healed the sick, all kinds of sick people. He had already raised the dead. Hello? He had already raised the dead. And he had already showed them that he knew the hearts and minds of people. He had read their minds. You see, this was not the first miracle that they had ever seen. They had seen Jesus perform miracles, supernatural things that only God could do. They had seen it many times before, but when this storm came up, they woke him in fear and not faith. Let me try to show you the difference. So waking up Jesus in fear would be, "We're going to drown. Do you care that we drown?" Okay? Please don't repeat that, all right? I know. I know. That's a bad example of waking Jesus in fear. What about this? What if one of the disciples had gone to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, we got a storm. We know that you can do anything. Can you help us? Will you help us?" Not can you. That's not faith. Will you help us? It wasn't a matter of could he, it was a matter of would he, right? But instead of coming to Jesus saying, "Hey, we know who you are. We believe in you and we entrust in you and we know that whatever happens here is going to be fine. Can you help us with? Will you help us with the wind?" See, that would be going to Jesus in faith and not fear, right? Expressing faith that God can do something, that He will, that He could do something, instead of going to Him in fear and saying, "Hey, don't you care that we're dying?" See, the problem was the disciples were still struggling to believe in who Jesus is, even though they had seen miracle after miracle. Supernatural sign after supernatural sign, the disciples were still going, I'm taking it all in. I'm thinking about it. I'm getting closer to believing in Jesus. They were slow to believe. And many of us at some time have been slow to believe. And maybe even this morning, there are those who would be slow to believe. Or maybe even there might be someone here that's not a believer yet. And you're slow to believe. You know, all the evidence is there. God has given you all the evidence that you need, but you still haven't believed in and trusted in Him. You haven't let go. You haven't surrendered. They had all the evidence to believe, but they were still slow to believe. I want to remind you that as Christians, the way that we relate to God is by faith. So if anybody ever asks you, how do you relate to God? It's F-A-I-T-H. It's faith. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Let's read this together. It's powerful. "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Amen? If you want to, let's not say if. Since you want to know God and have a relationship with God, you want to live your daily life with God, and you want to meet God someday and spend eternity with Him, the way that you establish a right relationship with God is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it all starts. It's faith in Jesus. There's no other way to be saved. It's by faith. It's not by good works. Good works come later. But faith is how a person is saved. God has determined that the way that we approach Him, the way we relate to Him, the way we are made right with Him is by faith. It's by believing in Him and what He's done for us. Let's look at that verse again, a little slower. I'll read it this time. "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him." You want to please Him? You want to have a right relationship with Him? It's by faith. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists." You got to believe that God is real and that He rewards those who seek Him. You have to believe that He is real, that God is real, and that He will respond to you if you reach out to Him, if you seek Him. That's how you approach God. And so all that we do as believers is to be by faith. That's the basis of how we relate to God. It's by faith. "And without faith, it is impossible." You know what the Greek word for impossible there is? Impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. That means it's not possible at all. And then as we live our Christian lives, how do we live? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us. Read this one with me. For we walk by faith. I think I ran out in front of you. Let's do it again. For we walk by faith, not by sight. All right? That's how believers like you and me, that's how we live our daily lives. Not believing necessarily in what we see or what we experience, but what God has said. Amen? What God has said, what God has told us, what God has revealed to us. We live by faith. Walk means live. By faith, not by sight. Sometimes we can't believe what we see and hear. We have to trust what we know to be true. Amen? Sometimes God calls us to do things that don't make sense to anybody but Him. They don't make sense to our friends, our family, maybe even our church. And we have to go on faith. God has shown me I am to do this, and I'm going to do it. Even if no one else understands or agrees, I'm going to do this or that. So you, when you wake up tomorrow morning, I don't know what you say to your alarm clock, and I don't know if you want to repeat it here, but I hope that one of the things you think of tomorrow, starting tomorrow, if not already, is it's time to walk by faith. It's time to live by faith. Not live by what I see and hear necessarily, but what God has said, what God has willed for me. So remember, it's by faith that we please God, and it's by faith that we relate to God and our world each and every day. So in conclusion, and I mean it this time, I want to encourage you to believe that Jesus is God. Some of you are saying, of course, I've heard that all my life. Well, good. There's a reminder, and somebody else needs to hear it. Amen? Believe that Jesus is God and that He can work miracles. Jesus is supernatural. There are a lot of people that want to minimize Jesus to just a man, just a prophet, just a gifted, charismatic personality. No, church. No, Christian. He is God, and He can do the supernatural. He can work miracles. I want to encourage you to believe that Jesus is the Savior of all who believe in Him. That's why He came. It wasn't just to say, look, I'm the Son of God. I came to show you that I am the best weather person in the world. All that points us to what He did for us on the cross. He died on the cross and He was buried and He rose again on the third day. And He is the Savior of all those who will believe in Him. The goal is not just to say, wow, that is awesome that He could speak to the weather. The goal is, I need Him as my Savior and my Lord. And then I want to encourage you, believe in Him personally. You know, don't just say, well, that's really good for other people. Or, I'm really glad He did that, and it not affect you. It's personal. It needs to be personal. You have to make a personal decision to believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You have to make a personal faith. You have to personally express faith in Jesus Christ. Someone else can't do it for you. Someone else who's a Christian already can't cover you. Cover for me. No, you can't do that. It's got to be personal. You have to bow your head and personally surrender to Jesus. Not just believe the story, not just appreciate how a story is told, but to make Him your personal Savior and Lord. And then I want to, as I really close, I'm landing the plane, be quick to believe in Jesus. Now, we have to be discerning in our world. But if you have seen all the evidence, or you've seen a lot of evidence, you don't need to see all the evidence. If you have seen enough evidence that Jesus is who He says He is, the God and Savior of the world, break down and believe Him. Don't be like many in the Bible who were called slow to believe. Even after the resurrection, Jesus walked with a couple of men to Emmaus, and he rebuked them for being slow to believe. Jesus rebuked those who were slow to believe in him. And we need to make sure that whatever we're hearing is coming from him. But when we find out it's coming from him, we need to be among those who are eager to believe. Amen? Eager to believe. It would be an insult to be said, this person is slow to believe. Live by faith in Jesus. Trust his word, the Bible. And then finally, believe that he can answer your prayers and that he can do miracles even today. Amen? He performed these wonderful supernatural miracles to reveal himself to the people of his day and to people throughout church history and even to us today. And I will say, I will testify that God still performs miracles. Now, he does it according to his will and purpose. He doesn't do it according to contributions, right? God continues to work miracles. And it seems that those miracles are brought through faith. Remember that? We just talked about that. And through prayer. And so I want you to know that if you're going through a difficult time, it's more than okay to ask God to work a miracle. Amen? The Bible tells us that nothing is impossible with God and that nothing is too hard for God. Jesus is the divine Son of God. Live in faith and not fear. Let's pray.